Welcome, 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 my friends. That's right, another exciting edition of KMOX's At Your Service here on a Wednesday night. I hope you're in for a good time tonight. We got all sorts of stuff coming up, live people in studio as well. We're going to go all the way till 10 o'clock tonight and have some fun. My name's Greg Damon, sitting in the big chair tonight, and we got all sorts of stuff lined up. We're going to go ahead and just, we're just going to start it right off. We're going to bring in our first guest. He is Mike Mitchell, and he is a reporter and, he is a pro football writer and reporter, and he covers the UFL for Sports Illustrated. Mike, thanks for joining us on such late notice. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, Greg, for having me on.
So the UFL, it seems to really come on strong, especially here in St. Louis. I mean, you know, we're all football crazy loving people. I mean, the NFL doesn't think so, but when you pack $40,000 for or 40,000 people for a minor league football game, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, it is, no question. And St. Louis is proving that they are a football town, a pro football town, and you know, they're really the one driving hope for spring pro football making it. The success of St. Louis is what's giving these entities and Disney, Fox, the owners, Redbird Capital, the owners of the United Football League, giving them that the hope of what this could potentially be. And the Battlehawks are a very good team, and we'll see how far they get this season. There's a lot of pressure on Anthony Beck and that bunch to make it to the championship game, which will be at the Dome in St. Louis. I mean, I can only imagine they might literally fill the Dome if that scenario were to come into play. Yes, yeah, so and it's a beautiful thing. It really is. I'm someone who's been an advocate of pro football leagues in the NFL offseason my whole life. I was an original USFL guy. I loved NFL Europe, World League of American Football. I'm a huge CFL guy. And so I've been rooting for these entities to make it for quite some time now. And the product has been stellar. It's gotten better. And I think it's only going to improve. So it's been a good run so far, and the Battlehawks are looking good as well.
Now, we talked about attendance here in St. Louis, but I will say the viewership for St. Louis when they're on the road has been through the roof as well.
Yeah, that's impressive, the way they're stacking up. I mean, St. Louis is a tremendous sports city, but to see the Battlehawks, a pro football team that still, even though they're going back to 2020 now, so there's a little bit of a built-in fan base there, but for them to even compete with or be comparable to the Cardinals and everything else that's going on in St. Louis, or and in some cases have better viewership, which is crazy when you think about it. It shows you how great of a sports city St. Louis is. But that's impressive, and St. Louis is definitely driving the league. They're the standard bearer for the UFL in terms of obviously attendance and viewership and fan interest. And D.C. has done a great job there too, and they're also dating back to 2020. They have a very passionate fan base, a great atmosphere, Audi Field. So it's great to see St. Louis leading the way, and I think it's a perfect marriage of spring pro football and St. Louis market, the Battlehawks. They're both out to prove that they belong in the pro football landscape and the sporting landscape. And Battlehawks and St. Louis fans have certainly delivered, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what's really crazy? I went to the game last week, and you wouldn't believe all the people out tailgating. Not only that, when you got inside, everybody's wearing Battlehawks gear. So, I mean,
it's such a great brand, too. You know, they've done such a good job with branding. It's kind of it's a fun name, and so it's kind of, cause the law.
That's right.
It's just tremendous to see. It's great seeing them be the leader in this space. And it's hard not to root for the Battlehawks. So it's, and for St. Louis, period.
So, I think the UFL is definitely stronger than the XFL of last year. I guess, where do you see the league is going to go in the future?
Yeah, as far as the strength of the league, it's interesting. You know, they took 16 pro football teams in the spring, merged them into 8, and so you see the quality of play. Obviously, having Fox and Disney exposure is terrific. Those are keys right there, Fox and Disney. It's a question of they have a fiscally responsible model, and Fox is now, this is their third year in spring pro football. They worked with the XFL back in 2020. I think the model that they have is that's been for survival has been successful, because a lot of leagues like this that have come in the past, they've drowned, basically in the red, lost so much money. So the question becomes with Redbird Capital Partners, with Fox, with Disney, with Danny Garcia, Dwayne Johnson, is whether they can get to the thriving part. They've got the surviving part down. Now the key is whether or not they can grow the brand and become a staple and last over the long haul. So I think these next couple of years, I think this year, because they had to finalize things through the government, so they got that passed in January. And so I think that 2024 is leading into 2025. And then I think next season, it's a question of how this league can grow and create revenue streams in terms of sponsorships and everything else. So I think the next couple of years are important to see if they've, for whatever reason, these are new leagues. You know, these football leagues have proven out since the AAF in 2019 that they can actually do good ratings, especially comparable or better than established leagues that have been around forever, like the NHL, whatever, MLS, et cetera. So I think it's the question is whether or not they can get to the point of thriving. And I think we're going to see these entities, Disney and Fox, teaming up to try to make this a lasting thing.
Absolutely. Well, Mike Mitchell, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking a little Battlehawk football. Love football. And for folks, where can they reach you? Where can they read your stuff?
You can. I write for Sports Illustrated, so obviously you can check out my work there, covering the DC Defenders, the league, the ratings, attendance, everything else. I'm at By Mike Mitchell on X. That's BYMIKEMITCHELL. And thank you very much, Greg, for having me on.
Yeah, come back and join us again, man. Definitely want to talk some more.
Appreciate it.
All right. That's Mike Mitchell from Sports Illustrated, my friends. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up next, I got Walter Parks in the house. A little live music coming up. Stick around. More to come on KMOX's At Your Service. Welcome back, everyone. 8:18 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And that's a little bit of Walter Parks and the Unlawful Assembly. Walter Parks has been kind enough to come down, hang out with us here in studio, even brought his guitar. Walter, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Greg, it's always a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. You know, I got to tell you, Walter Parks, producer, writer, vocalist, guitarist, legend, my friends, legend. In the house. I am humbled to have your acquaintance tonight.
I was humbled to get your call, man. Thank you.
So, you know, you're one of the coolest guys around I've ever known, and it just seems like every time we talk, every time you play your music, it just gets better and better and better.
Well, I'm 65 years old, and I do believe, you know, it's not even a belief. I have to keep learning, and I love music. I love life. I love talking to people. I love talking to strangers. I love St. Louis. You know, I've only been here as a permanent resident for 3 years, but it's a great music town. The gentleman on the show before was talking about what a great sports town this is. But this is I've always known St. Louis to be a great music town. I came and toured here and played here before I even lived here for years. And I'm happy and honored to be here.
Well, not only as we talked about you being a legend, but you were the lead guitarist for Richie Havens for about 10 years.
I was his last sideman of his career. We played all over the world. I played in Glastonbury at the famous festival in England. I played in Madison Square Garden twice and Carnegie Hall a couple of times. And, Greg, I don't know if you know, but today I brought Richie's guitar. This is his 1967 Guild, which predated Woodstock. It might have been there as a backup. It wasn't the one he played in the movie. But so I'm going to try to make a little bit of...
history.
Something special to
that's right. Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. Well, I want to get into a little bit, a few things. You got a big following on Facebook. You were doing hymns and hollers. Now you're doing a songwriting, storytelling.
Yeah, so many people ask me, just what's it like to live a life and to have kept a life going in as a musician and in the arts? And I said, all right, I'm going to write a book about my time with Richie Havens, and not necessarily about all the day-to-day stuff, but what I learned from it. Because people ask me, what was that like, traveling all around the world and playing with accompanying a great voice? And the other thing is just to stay at it and stay in the game and pursue a life in the arts. It's very unusual. And so every Sunday morning I post for my email fans a story, something I've learned during the week or about living in the arts. And so if you're, you can go to my website. Can I say the
name? Yeah, absolutely.
WalterParks.com, W-A-L-T-E-R, Parks.com, and sign up and just send in your email address, and then I'll send you one of these stories. Every Sunday is just a story about a life made in the arts and the lessons learned from it.
Yeah, I think us not living in the arts, we're always very interested in it, very, well, jealous about it as well. You know, we always want to aspire to be that. And, man, it's just really, you really tell some great stories and just love everything about it.
Thank you. It's something that you have to do. You know, one of the things, I do a lot of mentoring at this point. I talk to, do workshops in schools and so on. And every now and then a young person will raise their hand and they say, My parent wants me to go to college to have a fallback plan. And I said, well, they love you very much. And that's exactly what my parents told me. But what you're doing, and your parents might not want to hear this, but you're betting against yourself. I said, if you want to go into the arts, first of all, you have to go into the arts. Don't just want to go into the arts. You have to do it. And if you have to do it, then do it. You can try, you can throw your hat in the ring, play in New York, play in Chicago, play in L.A. And if that doesn't work for you after 2 years, pick back up with college. I loved going to college. But at the end of the day, I studied business management. And here I am playing the guitar still.
Well, you know, I'm lucky because I have a son that's a junior in college that he is a musical theater major. He's a BFA of Bachelor of Fine Arts, and he's an amazing singer, and he wants to be on Broadway, and he's working extremely hard. My younger son, who is a big football player, but yet he has played the tuba since he's been in third grade, and even in high school he still plays a tuba. He's All-Metro, All-District, and tuba.
Well, your son, who's a singer, is fantastic. You played me a tape of him a couple of minutes ago. That guy, he must stay with the arts.
He is. That's his goal. Yeah. That is definitely his goal. Well, I'll tell you what, Walter, let's play a little song here. This is actually my favorite Walter Parks tune, and I'll just let you go ahead and introduce it and tell us a little bit about it.
This is a story. My mother used to take me through downtown Jacksonville, Florida, which is where I grew up. And we'd pass through an area of town where people would play their guitars on the front porches and that kind of thing. And I got up the nerve to go ask a man how he got his sound. And, you know, kids are not used to talking to strangers, you know. And so I went up to his front porch and I said, how do you get that sound? You sound like an organ player, a drummer, a whole choir, one guy. And he leaned into me. He said, son, I can't play the guitar without the Jesus tone. And I didn't know. I thought, what the heck is he talking about? And he was a religious man. He explained everything that happened to him in by measure of the Spirit. And I disparaged him not for that. I respected that. But I had no idea as a 15-year-old how to talk to somebody who was coming from that place. So I didn't continue the conversation. I moved on and thanked him for his time. And I thought about it. And many years later, I wrote this song as if I had a full conversation with him. So this is called The Jesus Tone. I can't play the guitar without Jesus tone. I don't even want to bother strapping it on without the Jesus tone. I can't, I'm worth a dome. I need to scream at the sinners I'm living among. I can't play the guitar without Jesus tone. Woo. I can't play the guitar without Jesus' tone. I don't even want to bother strapping it on without the Jesus tone. I might as well stay at home. Well, my preacher got a pulpit and a microphone. I can't play the guitar without Jesus' tone. With a Jesus tone, plug into an amplifier the Savior condones, you'll get the Jesus tone with everyone you own. I say it a hell with the devil and that black cat bone. I just need my guitar and my Jesus tone.
Wow. Wow. Live radio, folks. That's what it is right here, live radio.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, legend, Walter Parks. Amazing. Thanks, Walter. I appreciate that. Great. That was awesome. My favorite song you do. So, coming up, you got a gig Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm playing Saturday at 5 p.m. If anybody's going out to see J.J. Gray, you can still slip in and see me at Euclid Records on Gore all day long from 12 o'clock till 5 o'clock. I'm the last act, and well, I'm kind of proud of that. So the bands are playing at Euclid Records for National Record Store Day, and it celebrates just vinyl. Vinyl last year finally surpassed the sales of CDs, so it's the number one recording medium now as far as the public is concerned in retail. And so, and the big question is asked, are people still making vinyl and pressing vinyl? Absolutely. It's a big business.
Right.
And young people are going back to vinyl, and they're getting a lot of good price for them, and they sound great. But, you know, vinyl, I'm an old school guy in one sense. I grew up on vinyl, and when CDs came out, I thought they sounded better, and I still do. But vinyl is an experience.
That's right.
You know.
I wish I would have kept my stereo rack system that I had.
Oh, my gosh. I bet that thing sounded good.
It was awesome. Yeah,
but anyway, I hope to see y'all at Record Store Day tomorrow at Euclid.
Saturday.
Yes, I keep saying tomorrow.
That's all right.
Saturday, coming up the 20th, and that is from 12 to 5. I play at 5 if you want to hear more of that swampy stuff.
That's right. Absolutely. Not only that, Walter, you got albums out and everything else. Where can folks get a hold of you? They want to get that... the thing that you write for them every Sunday as well. Where can they go?
Just you can go to my website, walterparks.com, walterparks.com, and sign up on the email list, and we will send you a story a week, and then I can keep in touch and tell you when I'm playing. I'm playing in St. Louis about once every couple of months, and it's So I hope to see everybody this Saturday in Webster Groves. That's where Euclid Records is.
All right. Well, Walter, thanks so much for coming down and hanging out with us and playing a little music for us.
Greg, it's always a pleasure to I think of you all over the country because I have to drive a dependable vehicle, and you're my buddy in St. Louis who knows how to keep it on the road for me. So it's all part and parcel to keeping the arts going in this country. Greg, thank you for your expertise.
Thank you so much, Walter. That's Walter Parks, my friend. We're going to do a little pause for the cause. We're gonna switch it up a little bit and talk a little fire-breathing NHRA drag racing. Stick around. More to come on KMOX's At Your Service. Welcome back, my friends. 8:36 is your time. Walter Parks been kind enough to hang out and give us a little bumper music in and out of commercials. How about that? And thanks to Walter for hanging out with us here. Well, we're going to shift gears a little bit and bring in our next guest, good friend of ours, been on the show, oh my gosh, countless number of times. He is Elon Werner. He's the founder of Werner Communications. He also does PR for Texas Motorplex and several NHR teams. But most importantly, he has created Drag Race Bracket Bonanza. That's a fantasy drag racing game. And he's been kind enough to hang out with us here on KMOX is At Your Service. Thanks, Elon.
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me on. Excited to talk to you and everybody in the KMOX listening audience. I mean, I know you guys have got a flamethrower there, so I love being on and talking to you, Greg.
Yeah, you never know how many people are listening or where they're at, that's for sure. But we do certainly get a lot of them, especially at night.
Well, yeah. Well, we're excited. You know, Drag Race Bracket Bonanza, like you said, is a free fantasy game. It's web-based, so if you can have access to the internet on your phone, you can just go to dragracebracketbonanza.com and sign up. And essentially, at every NHRA national event, you can fill out your bracket just like you do for college basketball. March Madness just ended, but now we've got 16 more races in the NHRA season, so we can definitely get your bracket Jones met, you know, and also with NHRA drag racing. So it's really taken off and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, you get some like really, really cool prizes to give away if you're the winner.
Yeah. So we do one of a kind plaques that say, like just most recently, we had the Las Vegas 4-Wide Nationals and Doug Coletta won in Top Fuel, Jed Coughlin won in Pro Stock, and Bob Tasca won in Funny Car. And we had the drivers personalize them with basically Doug Coletta signed his Doug Coletta first 4-wide win, and Jed Coughlin did the same thing. He'd never won the 4-wide before, and then Bob Tasca won on the incredibly rare, which we can get into a little bit later, triple hole shot win. And so we had him sign at Bob Tasca triple hole shot winner, and he's signing all his autographs now. Bob Tasca 341 mile per hour since he was the first Funny Car, or really the first dragster or anything, to go 340 miles per hour.
Crazy.
At the Pro Superstar Shootout earlier this year. So so the plaques are one of a kind. We're doing special trophies for the 4-Wide Challenge, which is the Vegas race and the Charlotte race. We're combining people's scores. Summit Racing has donated gift certificates throughout the season. So at various events, you can win a $25 Summit gift certificate or a $50 gift certificate. So it's been really interesting to just kind of have fans playing the game, making picks, getting kind of even more tied in to the racing. And the cool thing is the drivers are even getting into it now. We have bracket busters. There are some upsets in the first round with Jeff Deal and Jason Rupert winning and Terry Totten in Top Fuel. And drivers are engaging with the fans that are kind of lamenting their brackets getting blown up. And the drivers, Blake Alexander is a great example. He'll get on there and talk to fans and kind of give them the, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm not really sorry kind of stuff. So it's been interesting. It's been great. And we're growing steadily. Now we have, nearly 3,000 players, and we're having just over 1,200 brackets filled out at every race now. And it's growing race over race. So it's really becoming a thing. And again, it's totally free. That's what I love. It's totally free. Anyone, any age can play. We have leagues now. So there's almost 200 different leagues started. So WFO Radio has a league. Competition Plus has a league. and they're all free to just kind of, you know, get with your buddies and kind of play, and it just kind of keeps you more engaged with the sport.
Absolutely. It's just, it's great for the sport on top of that. But, you know, my thing is you get to win some really cool stuff for for winning. And by the way, I guess I need to send you my address because I haven't got my winnings at all.
Yeah, you and I both need to work on our picks, on our pick ability.
Yeah,
I was terrible in March Madness. I'm consistently terrible at Drag Race Bracket Bonanza. My wife gives me grief. She's like, "You're so into brackets, but you're so bad at them." Like in the March Madness, I finished like 22 millionth place. There were 22 million people that filled out a bracket better than me.
Oh wow.
I mean, it was crazy. So, like, I was seriously like the bottom 1%.
Well, you know,
I picked Auburn to go all the way, and they got punted in the first round. So that really hurt me.
I this is the first year I didn't fill one out at all. So you beat me. How about that?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So, but yeah, but you know, I love the prizes. I actually just dropped them all in the mail today, and had one of the folks respond via email that's like, "I can't wait to get my plaque. It feels like I won a Wally." And I was like, I'm not sure that it's quite to that level yet, but I'm glad the sizzle factor is there, the excitement level. And we're going to have even better prizes throughout the course of the year to just kind of keep it interesting. And it's just really, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do. I love how it gets people engaged in the sport. You just feel like you're a little bit more connected when you're watching the race on FS1 or Fox. And it's been really cool. So people can just go to dragracebracketbonanza.com and they can sign up now. And we do we don't overwhelm people with emails or anything like that, but we do a tip sheet on Friday to help people make picks. And we have stats on the website. So if you're trying to, if you don't know anything and you just kind of want to make a pick on your own, you can kind of figure out some stats about who's good at what races and whatnot. So my great friend, Greg Dave Dinsmore, helps me out with Denzie's deets on all the tip sheets.
Nice.
So
nice. Well, you know, it's not me picking them because I'm not winning. So.
Yeah. I'm not, I'm even, you know, haphazardly following the Denzie's deets, but it's the racing now is so crazy in NHRA. There's so many good teams that there are some favorites. Gage Herrera and Pro Stock Motorcycle. Erica's doing really well in Pro Stock, but even that, you know, Jake Coughlin won, Greg Anderson's won. They're, you know, in Top Fuel and Funny Cards, literal coin flip pretty much. The Coletta guys have gotten off to a great start.
Yeah, so much parity into it. I'll tell you what, Elon,
sure.
I got to take care of some business here. Hang with me a few more minutes, please. All right, fantastic.
For sure, of course.
On the phone, we're visiting with our good friend Elon Werner from Werner Communications, also Drag Race Bracket Bonanza. Walter Parks is going to take us out to a commercial. Welcome back, everyone. 8:49 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. Walter Park's been kind enough to hang out. Man, I'm getting bumper music, live bumper music, going out of two commercials and coming back. Amazing, amazing. And thanks to Walter for doing that. But we're talking with our good friend Elon Werner from Werner Communications, also does PR for Texas Motorplex, which by far is one of the best raceways around, and several NHRA teams. But as I said before, most importantly, he is the guru that created Drag Race Bracket Bonanza. And again, Elon, thanks for hanging out with us tonight on At Your Service.
Oh, my pleasure, Greg. I love talking to you. And, you know, anytime I can talk about Drag Race Bracket Bonanza, I'm definitely here for it. So it's been a wild start to the season with just tons of upsets, a lot, you know, some surprise winners. We're right in the middle of doing back-to-back four-wide races, which has been an interesting you know, kind of programming feat. You know, we started with just traditional two wide, but we figured out how to do four wide brackets and do, you know, bonus points. So you actually almost pick it like horse racing. You give first place, second place, third place, fourth place finishing. And you get bonus points if you can get all four places correctly. So fans will get a chance in 2 weeks to do the Charlotte four wide. So they can go to dragracebracketbonanza.com right now and just sign up for free and then be all ready to go for the Charlotte race in a couple weeks.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the four wide just had happened in Vegas. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, I'm old school guy. That's crazy to me to think four guys going at one time.
It is an assault on the senses. The cool thing at Charlotte, you can get up on top of the tower and you're basically almost right on top of the starting line and win four top field dragsters or four funny cars that's launched, that's 48,000 horsepower right in front of your face. That's an entire field of NASCAR cars launching right in front of you. And the racing now is getting so competitive that when we first started four wides, a couple guys would smoke the tires, you guys would have state, but now people have figured it out. So you really see four side-by-side passes in pro stock car, funny car, the Tasca race that he won in the final on a triple hole shot, you know, had the best reaction time of four drivers in his slower laps time. It looks like a photo finish at the finish line stripe at 330 miles per hour.
Crazy.
With four funny cars, just literally from first place to fourth place, separated by about 11 thousandths of a second.
That's just crazy. Well, let's talk about the man, the myth, the mystery. Tony Stewart has won a couple rounds. He's currently sitting in sixth place so far. Man, it's going to go crazy if he ever wins an event.
I predict he will win a race before the U.S. Nationals. That team, Neil Strasbaugh, Mike Domagala, his crew chiefs, you know, that was Leah's car last year. He is doing an amazing job driving. His reaction times, which is really the key, have been solid. So it's going to be bonkers when he does eventually win. But, you know, he's out there battling. I think he really enjoys it. But, yeah, he's bringing a lot to the sport. A lot of tracks are promoting him. You know, so if you're a Tony Stewart fan, and there's so many of them out there, this is your opportunity to come to the races. He does all the autograph sessions. He's at his ropes. He's super accessible, which is kind of a hallmark for NHRA. But just his driving has really impressed me. Coming up through the ranks, the alcohol dragster class, he's made the transition to Top Fuel pretty easily. But also, he's realizing that even with the best equipment, with the best guys, and doing your job as a driver, there's a lot of other hitters out there. Doug Coletta, Sean Langdon, Justin Ashley, Tony Schumacher's coming back into form. It's just a crazy, competition level right now, which I feel like we've been saying it for two or three years, that every year it feels like the competition never has been tougher. But now you're looking at truly 12 to 14 teams that could really – you wouldn't be surprised if any of them won the championship, and you're going to be looking at four or five of them. They're going to finish on the outside of the top 10.
Well, we got about a minute left here, Elon.
Yeah.
So real quick, how about Austin Prock? I never would have thought where he's sitting, subbing for Robert Hight.
He is also proven to be the real deal. And as much as I'm excited about him, it was great to see John Force back in the winner's circle. He won the rain delayed, winter nationals, but just seeing Austin and John both have success, I think that's great for the sport. But yeah, Austin has been a breath of fresh air, making the transition to funny car. You know, he's another guy that basically has proven if it has a steering wheel and wheels, he can get it from point A to point B. And that's, I think that just shows the health of that team. And to get into a race with your dad as your crew chief and your brother as a co-crew chief, it truly is a Prock family affair. And he's just doing a heck of a job driving that Cornwell Tools funny car.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Elon, thanks again for joining us here on the program. For
folks who want
to do drag race bracket bonanza, where can they go? Where's the easiest way to get a hold of you?
They just go dragracebracketbonanza.com. We're also all over social media, but the easiest thing to do is to just, you know, get on your phone, get on your laptop, dragracebracketbonanza.com. They can sign up, and then that'll give them email updates, everything they need to know.
And we're going to try to get down to Texas and see you. So
I appreciate it. Excellent, Greg. I appreciate it.
That's our good friend Elon Warner from Warner Communications. Also, check it out, though, Drag Race Bracket Bonanza. We got just about a minute here left before we go to break. And, of course, I'm going to bring in our good friend, Mr. Walter Parks, legend. Take us away.